Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears coming at you here on a getaway Friday. Friday, January 23rd, 2026, by the way. 13 minutes past the hour, joined in studio by Matt Morgan. Here for hour number two on a very bitterly cold Friday night. Getaway Friday night. Bitterly cold tomorrow. Snow on Sunday. Looks like what's going to be the case. Phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. By the way, I have never heard the beginning of the show when I'm not here. What do you do after the intro?
I flubbed it twice.
What'd you do?
I said thank you, man with the golden. I think I said it backwards. Today, but I just say thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. I messed it up that time too. Yeah, thank you, Ted Williams, man with the golden voice. This is not Scott Spears, and then I said that you were taking care of whatever.
Whatever.
Yeah.
I'm just out taking care of things.
Well, yeah, I said, he had stuff to do.
Cold.
He'll join us.
It's cold. Cold. I had cold things to do.
Yes.
Ay, ay, ay. Anyway, did anybody call the first hour?
No.
No, you had no calls. Talking about the weather.
Well,
Anyway, we are here, 740-383-9944. Next hour, you've got football and local politics.
Yeah.
Staying away from all that, right, these 2 hours, right?
I ended up talking a little bit about the local politics, but not much.
Well, I've thought about this today. We talked earlier on about the insincerity of people. And tonight, I was reminded that there are sincere people in the world.
Well, that's good.
See, some people will just show up. You don't even have to say anything. They'll just show up. And you say, oh, wow, I can't believe you showed up. And then some people, oh, if you need anything, let me know. No, I don't need you.
Okay.
There's the rant.
Well, yeah, I mean, I think it's nice.
Yes, I thought so.
Yeah, I think it's nice. Yeah.
So you still like the asking people if they need anything?
That's the approach I've always taken.
Oh, see, I want to start blocking people if they send that message to me.
I don't know. I don't know.
If I needed, listen, find me. I'm right here. Not hard to find.
Well, how am I supposed to know if you need help?
Well, you don't ask.
Well, that's how you usually find
out.
Who
says, oh, I need help? Yes. No. You just show up.
Oh.
That's why people need psychiatrists.
Well, there's nothing wrong with
this. A lot of people in life could benefit from a good psychiatrist, I'll tell you that.
Any problem I've ever had, I just prefer to deal with by myself.
Oh, that's fine. But I'm saying, if I show up,
yeah,
and you're whatever, do it, whatever. You're going to run into people regardless.
Yeah?
So, what makes the difference?
What do you mean?
If I show up, because I think you're going through a rough time.
Okay.
Okay. I'm there. I see it. I say, okay.
Well, then I can't deal with whatever I'm trying to deal with.
You hit the pause button.
I don't want to do that.
You just want to roll around in misery?
Well, you see, eventually, at some point, the theory is there. You'll figure it out.
Oh, you never figure it out.
Well, I don't know. It depends.
Like I say, the true tragedies in life that people have, they don't really get they just get past. They're still there.
So, sure, I'd agree, yeah.
They don't get over them, I guess is what I should say. You don't really ever get over it. You just get through it.
I think that's probably accurate.
So that's the point. So all this, if you need anything, you don't mean that.
I mean, I don't know. I've shown up for people.
After you ask them that?
Well, most of the time when you ask people, they don't, there's no problem according to them. But I mean, but I do.
There's the problem.
But I have. I mean, like it's really only the one friend. But the one friend, I mean, I promise you, I'm like their psychiatrist. I don't think that's great. I'm not qualified to be giving people advice.
Have you explained that to them?
See, that's why I try to avoid all that, and I try to more so like I said, I just try more so I'm trying to get their like mind off of it for a little bit. I'll talk to you about whatever. I mean, if that's what you want to talk about, I guess that's what we'll talk about. But typically, I just try to keep people. I just try to get their mind off of it for a little bit.
Well, that's nice.
But I'm not. I'm not a shrink.
Well, I don't know. I don't think you have to be a psychiatrist to help people get their mind off something. Now, to solve their problems, you might need to be a psychiatrist.
Well, yeah, but see, I mean, I like solutions. I can't give you a solution.
Well, some things just don't have solutions.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true.
And I think that's good.
Oh, no, there are people who, like, you know, you could be going through a hard time, and they always know what to say. I don't know what to say to people going through hard times, so I just talk to them.
Well, like, what do you say?
I don't know. We'll just talk about, you know, I don't know, whatever me and my friends talk about.
You know, there was a book. Did Marlo Thomas write it, Phil Donahue's wife? I can't remember. But it was called The Right Words at the Right Time. And basically, there were celebrities and well-known people and scientists.
Did you say his wife wrote it?
Yeah, I think so. But basically, she asked people to tell a story of a time in their life when they were having a problem. And what somebody said to help them get through that problem.
Well, that's good.
There's one in there. I know this isn't a popular name, but he did appear on this show twice. Was Bill Cosby, and this is one that I remember because apparently he was being considered the hot young new comedy star early in his career, and he was playing this very high-paying club for the first time. And he gets there, and he said he was very, very nervous. Very, very, very nervous. And he said he got up for the first show, and he just bombed. Bombed horribly. And he was supposed to be there all week long, and he said he just bombed horribly. And he said he went back to the dressing room and thought about getting out of the business, and he can't handle the big rooms, and it's just not for him. And he said the owner of the club came back and said, "You know, I'm sorry, you were just terrible." He said, that was terrible. And Bill said, "I can't go back out there later on tonight and do the second show." And he said, "No, you can't go back out there. No, that show was terrible. You cannot go back out there and do that second show tonight because you were terrible. So whoever that guy was who showed up earlier, don't send him back out. Send Bill Cosby out for the second show." And left the room.
Well, that's good.
And it gave him the confidence to go back out, and he killed the second show.
That's good.
So that's a good story. That's one I remember.
Yeah, you're right, man. You can't go back out there. That was terrible. That was terrible.
You cannot. So please, if you see Bill Cosby, send him out there for the second show because he's funny. That guy was not.
That's a good one.
Well, that was a good story.
I think so.
And it's just full of those from famous people. Just little stories about adverse times in their life. And
I'd buy that.
It's a good book.
I can imagine.
Then Charles Grodin wrote one similar to that, but it's, I forget what it's called, but it's like that. It's a collection of stories from well-known people, but it wasn't about the right words at the right time. Maybe it was advice or their first break or something like that.
Their first break.
It was stories about something.
Like first break from like whatever they're doing?
Yeah, whatever they got, how they got into what they got into. Because nobody ever goes back that far and listens to those stories.
Why not?
I don't know. People aren't interested in that.
Well, I don't know. I think that's pretty interesting, I guess.
Like I do, I mean, I'm not going to do it here, but I do the, when somebody's having an adverse time, I like to tell them the presentation story. I always think that's a good story.
Presentation.
Yeah, I can't get into it. It's a long story, and it involves, you have to have a problem for it to make any sense.
No.
But, yeah, so I usually, that's a good one. That usually takes people through whatever they're going through. You just got to get some good stock things like that.
You just got to build up the repertoire.
Build up the repertoire. And then when you go in to deal with a problem, you know what you're doing.
I don't know. The tact I've always taken, like I said, I don't have solutions for the... It's really, like I said, the one friend. But the one friend, I don't have solutions for them. So I just joke with them and, you know, that kind of thing.
See, I don't know if I want to joke in an unnerving moment.
Well, get your mind off things.
Maybe. I don't know. See, that's touchy, though. Because if you tell a joke and it dies...
Well,
I saw somebody do that recently.
Well, I'm not a comedian. I'm not, like, making
no,
jokes.
But I saw somebody tell a joke once recently, and oh, my... Oh, well, I really can't get into the story. But, oh, they... Most inopportune time to tell a joke. And it just... I'd never seen something hit so flat. And he was trying to do it in a tense moment. And that thing hit so dead. I mean, I know what he was trying to do. He was trying to take a heavy moment and try to tell a joke.
Well, that's a gamble.
It was a gamble. He failed. He lost all his money on that one.
Oh, boy.
But, oh, Lord. And as soon as it came out of his mouth, I just wished he could have grabbed it and put it back in his mouth.
Not bad.
Oh, the room. It was a room of people and... They just looked at him. Oh, and he knew it.
Yeah,
he knew what he'd done.
Well, I mean, usually you can tell.
It was not a funny room. It was a very tense conversation that was taking place between a bunch of people around a round table, and I don't know why he thought that was a time for levity, but it wasn't.
I think he was trying to like. Kill the intensity.
Well, he got his head bit off.
I can imagine. I can imagine. Yeah.
Woof.
That'd be rough.
A poor man. jokes in moments. I would never tell a joke in a crisis. Unless it's like a surefire, like a no chance of fail joke.
I mean, I think that's probably not a bad idea.
But you don't risk it.
I mean, you don't want to come off as, like, facetious.
The room was too serious, and no joke would have worked. So why he thought all of a sudden he was going to be like Jerry Seinfeld and pop a joke there, I don't know what he was thinking.
Oh, poor fellow.
As soon as it came out of his mouth... The person sitting exactly down the table at him, I mean, the joke had not, literally the last word of the joke was done, and the person dead stared him sitting at the other side of the table and said, I don't find that funny at all. And everybody at the table just looked at him, and he looked about as tall as a salt shaker. I thought, oh,
boy.
The last syllable of the joke came out of his mouth, and that person stared in his eyes, said, I don't find that funny at all.
Staring daggers.
Ooh. And nobody was laughing, so there wasn't even that. You know, he couldn't. And then he just had no, I think he tried to say something like, I didn't mean it funny. Oh, yeah, right.
Oh, you know, I always feel bad for people when they tell jokes and nobody thinks it's funny.
Just some things you should not joke about. Some things you should not joke about. Phone lines, has anybody ever done this? 740-383-9944. Have you ever told a joke when you shouldn't have told a joke? Have you ever dropped it in when you shouldn't have dropped it in?
I mean, I can't think of any jokes I certainly have.
Don't you think, though, you find out who your friends are in a crisis?
Well, yeah.
I think you do.
Well, yeah.
Because it's easy to be your friend when things are going well. But when there's a crisis going on, then you know who's with you.
Well, yeah. I mean, there's a whole song about that, isn't there?
Is there?
I think so.
What is it?
I think it's Friends in Low Places, maybe. Is that the one?
I don't know.
Well, I think it's Friends in Low Places, if I had to take a guess. I can't think of it. The name of the song.
You know, I feel badly that... by the way, did you see Bob Costas is returning to NBC as the host of Sunday Night Baseball pregame show?
I don't watch baseball.
No, but you know who Bob Costas is, right?
No.
Oh, that's sad.
Was he like a...
One of the most famous sports broadcasters in history, and he's been on my show.
Well, I know the name, I guess, but like, I don't know. I couldn't tell you anything about the man.
There was a story I heard today I was going to bring up tonight because I thought it was a good story, but now I can't remember what the story was. What's a big story going on right now?
About what?
I can't remember. It was like, God, what was the story? It was kind of like that. Like the Bob Costas story, going back to what you used to do.
I don't know. I mean, Tom Brady has a similar thing right now.
No, God, what was it? I can't remember.
Well, I'm sure you'll remember at some point.
Yeah, on the way home. Yeah. Won't do me any good then.
Well, I mean, you can always write it down. Keep it for later.
Keep it for the next show.
Yep.
I don't know. It's interesting. God, what was it? I remember thinking, that's a good story.
I think the halftime show is going to be good this year.
I don't even understand it.
What do you mean?
Bad Bunny, and then starting off the show is Green Day.
Really?
Well, that's what I understand. I don't quite understand this now.
See, I was unaware of that. I like Green Day, but I don't know.
I didn't realize Bad Bunny had this much popularity.
Yes. I think he's the number one most listened to Spotify artist in the world.
Did you hear there was a beef between Taylor Swift and her friend?
Her friend.
Blake Lively. I don't know who that is, but it's a weird name.
I don't know who that is either.
They have a beef or something.
Well, that's good.
Because apparently...
Well, I don't think you should beef with Taylor Swift. She'll put you in your place.
Well, there was some lawsuit and text messages had to be brought out. And apparently there was a text message exchange where... they were having some kind of conversation back and forth, and one of them said that the other was too focused on their own life to pay attention to what was going on with their life. I think that's true, though. People do get sucked into their own life. They think because they're doing it that, you know, they don't realize other people have stuff going on, too.
Well, I don't know. I mean, I don't know how you don't realize other people got stuff going on.
Well, because you're wrapped up in your own psychodrama.
Like, is she an actor or something?
I don't know what she... I truly have no idea what she is. I just remember the name because it was an odd name.
I don't mind the name. It's all right.
It's a girl.
Yeah, I know.
So you know who it is?
No.
Oh, okay. Now, you know it was a girl?
Well, I don't know. I mean, I guess friends with Taylor Swift. I mean,
she likes the guys.
I thought you were talking about Travis Kelce.
You know, I still can't get over that Vulgar album. That she has done.
Never listened to it.
I haven't listened to it either, but I've heard.
The one song, I think.
Oh, terrible.
She is an actor, or actress, I guess. Yeah.
Is that her real name?
Yeah.
Really?
I've never seen any of these movies. She was in Sisterhood of the Traveling Pants. I know my mom was a big fan of that movie.
Sisterhood of the Traveling Pants.
Yep.
What is that?
You have to take that up with somebody who watched the movie.
Yep. I'm not a big fan of the movies.
She's an actor or actress, I guess.
Never been a big fan of the movies.
Like, in general?
Yeah, they're just too long. I can't sit for an hour and a half and watch something.
Yeah, I agree. That's why I don't watch a lot of movies.
Now, I can watch a good documentary. I'm trying to think of one I've seen recently that I thought was good.
I still need to watch the OSU documentary. I haven't watched that.
Oh, that was good.
Soaked in Bleach is a good documentary.
What's that about?
It's a documentary basically on the conspiracy theory of trying to think of her name. Courtney Love killed Kurt Cobain.
Oh, see, I don't care about that.
I don't know. One of my friends sent it to me. I was like, yeah, I ain't got nothing else to do.
Did you know the 90s were popular right now? I heard of that today.
The 90s were popular.
Yeah, apparently
right
now. The 90s are nostalgia now. They're high. It's high. Things that were or are 90s, I guess, are now high in nostalgia.
I guess I was unaware of that.
I didn't know it till today.
Like what?
Well, I was hearing that people, I guess, are doing watch-alongs now of shows that were on in the 90s. Like they're trying to get original cast back together of the shows and watch the shows that were on in the 90s.
Why?
I don't know. Podcasts, I guess, are doing that now. I don't know.
Well, that's interesting, I guess.
The 90s were different, though, because it was the last decade of complete control by mass media. It was the last decade before the internet really had a stranglehold. Cell phones had a stranglehold. Everything came from 2000 to 2010. Text messaging came in that era. Everybody having a cell phone came in that era.
It ruined the world.
Smartphones came in that era. Everybody having cable internet came in that era. The 90s had none of that. If you take the 90s and the 2000s, it is unbelievable how different they are.
Well, I mean, you'll have that, I guess. I don't know. I don't think that the boost in technology has done a whole lot of good for us.
Well, it's just interesting because the other decades you would see, like, clothes changing or music changing or things like that would change. But the 90s and 2000s, that stuff really didn't change. If you saw somebody dressed in the 90s and dressed in the 2000s, it's not a big difference. Music didn't change all that much. Pop was, you know, king in both of those. So you don't see that change, but the change came in the technology. That's where the change came.
Why is music so homogenized now? Like, it all sounds the same.
Well, I think people don't want to hear other things. If people did, they would happen.
Well, I don't know. I mean, like, I don't know. I think there was a time when genres were fairly distinct. Now everything kind of sounds the same.
I don't know. I just think it's interesting that, you know,
oh, yeah,
the 90s have become popular.
Well, I mean, the evolution of things in general I find interesting. I mean, you know, got to get there somehow, I guess, but
the 90s was the last time where everybody would watch something. And you could actually talk to somebody the next day about it. There was no TiVo. There was no DVR.
What is a TiVo?
It was like record something and then watch it later.
Oh, like a Well, yeah, it's a DVR, isn't it?
Yeah, but the early ones were called TiVos.
Nice.
But there was none of that. I mean, if it was on, I mean, you could videotape it, but not a lot of people did that. Some did, but, you know, it was only like if you had to work or something. If you could watch it live, you would watch it live. And it was also the last decade before reality television. Reality television had not come in. So you still had the big budget sitcoms and dramas and big stars and that sort of thing.
I think we should go back to the 90s. I think that'd be a good move.
Well, they were great because of those things.
Good move.
It was a fun decade. Clinton was in office.
Well, that's nice.
Most of the decade, 93 to 2001.
Well, that's pretty good.
So, yeah, Soviet Union, we were involved in no wars.
Yeah, but what about the... You were alive for that, right? The Soviet Union didn't collapse all that long ago. Like, I don't know.
Early 90s.
Yeah.
George Bush was still in power then. First George Bush.
Senior, yeah. Well, I guess he's not a senior, is he? Because he's...
Yeah. His son was George Bush.
Yeah, but don't they have different middle names or something?
They do, but when you have the same first and last name, it's still a...
I don't know.
I don't know. Then came George W. Bush and...
George W.
He didn't have his father's tech.
I think George Bush was the first president I was alive for.
I always wonder how George W. Bush would have done had there not been a 9/11. Because it was 9 months into his presidency. So his whole presidency was basically that.
Well, I mean, you know, he started the whole war on terror.
I saw a podcast today where Michelle Obama said if Trump would run for a third term, she would not want her husband to run for a third term.
Why?
Because she said she didn't like the first two.
Well, Obama apparently did.
I don't know. Did he?
Well, I mean, he was president twice.
She never seemed like she liked the White House.
No, I don't think she did.
Yeah. I don't think she was first lady material.
Oh, she did a lot of first lady things.
Well, I mean, because that was the job.
I guess. She ruined school food for a while.
Yeah, but all the first ladies prior to her were... You got the impression they liked the job.
Sure. I mean, it wouldn't surprise me.
You know, I think they would have done what their husbands wanted them to do.
To what extent?
Well, I mean, I don't think they hated the White House. I think they liked it. I think they liked the trappings of it.
I don't know what Michelle Obama has against it.
She just seems like a severely private person.
Well, nothing wrong with that, I guess. But, I mean, you can't be severely private and and a public official.
Well, I think that was part of the problem. And I think she was the one who felt there was a lot of racism going on.
Well, I would probably back that up.
He seemed to be more passive about that.
That's fair, I guess.
You know, our conversation, I still don't understand what the problem is people have with the Clintons. To this day, that baffles my mind.
The Clintons. What about
most? The Clintons will go down as one of the most successful, if not the... Can you think of a more successful president and first lady?
I don't know. The Kennedys?
I don't think so, because Jackie Kennedy was not... I mean, she was a trendsetter in fashion, but I don't think she was Hillary Clinton. She certainly didn't go on to become senator from New York, secretary of state, and the first woman to run for president.
I think FDR's wife was pretty.
But she didn't.
Pretty substantial.
She had her nose stuck in a lot of things, but she didn't do anything. She worked. She was at the UN for a while.
Well, that's pretty good.
Right. That'd be about it. But that's it. Coming in at number two.
Well, I mean, I don't know.
Well, I always said when Hillary Clinton was running for president, it was interesting because people referred to her as a former senator from New York. People referred to her as a former secretary of state. She was also first lady of the United States for 8 years. People forget that. That's pretty good when first lady isn't at the top of your resume.
Could she not run for office?
What?
Hillary.
She did.
Well, yes, I understand that, but while Clinton was in office.
Well, why would you want to do that? You're first lady. You're living in the White House.
Yeah, but I could be, I don't know, senator of New York.
Well, she ran while he was in his last year.
Yeah, but she She could have ran while he was president.
Why would you want... First of all, you have to live in New York.
Okay.
So you think she wanted to move out of the White House?
I mean, I guess not, no.
To live by herself in New York?
I guess not. I suppose that's not what she did.
And First Lady, she had a lot of stroke.
As First Lady?
Yeah, I don't think she was a quiet First Lady.
I don't know anything about her as a First Lady.
Yeah, she did things.
Well, it's good for her, I guess.
I don't think there's ever been a time in her life that Hillary Clinton wasn't doing things.
What's everybody got against Hillary?
I think it's because she was assertive.
She gets beat over the head an awful lot.
I don't think people like assertive women. I think that's why people don't vote for women for office. Because you got to be assertive to run for office.
I don't see the problem.
People don't like it. Women have a problem. Okay, if a man is pushy and strong and all of that, they call him assertive. Now, you know what they call a woman who's pushy and assertive.
Yeah, I think I know the word you're referring to.
Yeah, they got a whole word for it. And it's not a good word.
Yeah.
So, why is that? There's not even a word like that for a man.
I don't know.
What word do you use for a pushy man? Man with a bad attitude.
You could use the same word.
I don't think you'd use that for a man. That word is specifically female-oriented.
You could use it. It's just, like, usually used that way.
Any thoughts on this? Phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. That's
740-383-9944. I don't see what everybody's problem was with Hillary Clinton.
I think that was it.
I don't know. Doesn't seem like that big of a problem to me.
What was for them?
I guess.
She's an interesting woman.
I think she should run for president again.
She's getting on in years.
So what? Donald Trump's getting on in years.
Well, I think we all are.
Well, I mean, as it goes, I guess.
And so it goes. And so it goes, as they say. Go ahead, caller.
Yeah, Hillary back then and even until now is the most qualified to be president of any politician out there.
I believe she was probably the most qualified person ever to run for president.
I'd agree.
Yeah.
Yeah, but we didn't like that.
Well, I was a fan.
And, you know, it's true. Like you said, you know, a lot of people don't like an assertive woman. And, you know, it's probably more women that don't like an assertive woman more than the men.
Well, women are the majority of the country, so if they all voted for a woman president, we'd have one.
Yep.
You know, when I would talk to women, there was more women that, you know, was just, you know, down against Hillary Clinton, you know, rather than, you know, versus a man.
So what was, why? Why did they not like her?
I don't know. They're jealous. Women get jealous over everything.
That's probably true.
You know? So, you know, she was the most qualified, I think.
Now, what do you think about Amy Acton?
I like Amy Acton. I don't think she's assertive enough.
Now, what do you want her to do?
Well, I want her to win and be governor.
Right, but I mean, how do you want her to become assertive?
Well, I don't want her to go crazy, but, you know, when she talks and stuff, you know, she's not talking. She does it more now with an assertive tone and, you know, coming back with, you know, remarks and stuff. I don't know which one it was, but that Wesley Davis, I don't know how she expects to win, because she, if it was her I'm thinking about, she sounds like a little 16-year-old. No.
Well,
she might be smart and everything. She might even be really capable of doing the job. But, you know, when you talk like a 16-year-old, I just don't think enough people, you know, can really get behind you and think you can do the job.
Well, you know, she's not she's not my biggest fan right now.
Why, she talk bad about you or what?
Yeah, something like that.
Oh.
Yeah, God bless her heart. What can you do?
You can't please everybody, can you?
No, I wish her all the best. God bless her.
Yeah.
Well, thanks.
Okay, I'll keep listening.
All right. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. See, there you go.
Well, I think that's interesting.
Well, you know, whatever.
Oh, yeah.
She's an interesting one.
I think so.
She's a case study.
I think we should have elected Hillary Clinton. That would have been great.
Well, that ship sailed.
Well, I'm telling you, she could run again.
Yeah, well, we got the guy now.
What about him?
That's the guy people wanted, right?
I mean, I guess.
Listen, I still don't understand your philosophy on voting.
Why? What about it?
I don't understand you. Yeah. Don't vote
the
for anybody.
From the
yeah,
vote?
Don't vote for anybody so you get the guy you really don't want.
Well, I mean, I don't really, like, by proxy, I guess, I want Amy Acton over Vivek. But that doesn't mean I want Amy Acton, per se.
Well, nobody's saying that. But when you do what you want to do, that's how you help the other person get elected.
By abstaining from the vote.
Yeah. Because their people don't abstain.
Yeah, but I'm not going to vote for somebody I don't like.
Well, again, you're not going to be in love with every candidate that runs for everything.
Yeah.
So, were you in love with Kamala Harris?
No.
Okay. Well, do you think she'd be doing a better job right now than Donald Trump?
I think she probably would be doing
a better
job. Okay.
Well, there you go. Did you vote for her?
I don't know.
You do.
It was,
see, that's a lie. You know who you voted for.
It was either her or Chase Oliver.
Right, but we know what you did. So the point is that you eventually decided to vote for the person who wasn't Donald Trump, who could actually win.
What, maybe.
Right. So what is... See, you still can't even admit it to this day. You need some kind of witness... What is it? Witness protection program for the whole thing.
Well, I mean, I don't see the point. I lost either way.
Well, I don't know. I would never vote for a woman just to vote for a woman. But if it came down and I'm looking at it and I'm going, well, you know, one of these is going to be a first, and I'm not really loving either one of them. That could sway me.
Well, they're both first in this case.
Right. But if I'm saying, you know, like if I was faced with your dilemma, one I definitely did not want to vote for, but the other would be a first. I'm not in love with them, but I don't hate them. I certainly don't want the other person. That could sway me, just that fact alone.
Why?
Well, because I think...
It doesn't really matter to me.
Well, like I told you last week, I never remember anything being all about that with Obama, about being the first black president. But I do remember the next day after he was elected, that running through a lot of people's minds, that this could never happen, that this was a first, that... How did that happen?
What do you mean, how did it happen?
Well, they never thought they would live to see the day that would happen.
I don't know. I was very young when Barack Obama got elected, I guess.
It was a very emotional day. I mean, that's why people... I mean, God, his acceptance speech, I think, was in the big park in Chicago.
First president I actually remember was Barack Obama.
Yeah. So you don't remember the Bush years? Mm. Oh, those were fun. I was on the air in the Bush years.
Oh, wasn't that nice?
Yeah. We talked more about Iraq in those years and Afghanistan.
To my understanding, George Bush was a bit of a warmonger.
Well, I don't know what he was.
Well, I mean, I don't know.
He paints now.
He like, oh, that's good. You gotta do something, I guess.
Mellowed out with age.
Oh, you went, I don't know. Going from warmonger to painter.
You know, there was a lot of stuff surrounding George W. Bush. I don't know. I don't know how you weed through it all.
I guess I don't know much about George W. Bush. I know the War on Terror and that kind of thing.
I remember waking up and you had to remember what color it was. Like the alert. And they told you to buy, what was it? Duct tape and plastic wrap and put it over your windows for anthrax and... I don't remember. It was very strange.
Huh?
Oh, yeah.
Paranoid.
Well, a lot of people were paranoid during that time.
Well,
they were sending anthrax in the mail.
Yeah. Yeah, I know about that.
That wasn't good.
I understand. Killed two people, I think.
See? That'll put you on alert.
I think they were both... Well, they were legislators. I know that much. I was going to say senators, but I don't want to say senators. They were legislators.
It was just a bad time.
Well, I mean, I'd assume shipping poison in the mail is not great.
Well, it had come off of 9/11, and it had come off of Afghanistan.
They were fine, the people who did that.
I don't know. I don't remember. I just remember it was awful. Because everybody was paranoid of everything.
Yeah.
I mean, I remember the day they announced we were going to war with Afghanistan. Oh, God. People thought, I mean, we had shoe bombers. I mean, it was weird. Weird time.
Well, I mean, I think it's pretty weird right now, but I wasn't around then, so I can't compare.
That was more driven by fear.
No, I don't think... Well, I guess there's fear now, to some level.
This is just, this is more of like a, I don't know, like a comedy of errors.
Oh, I don't know that I'd call this a comedy.
Well, that was much more serious. Because people were scared. I don't know if people are scared now or not. I don't know, maybe they are.
I know of a couple people who are scared.
Well, there you go. People thought that the end of the world was coming in those days, that people were going to drop bombs and it was going to be that, and here we go.
Why?
Well, because nobody could believe that would happen in New York. Nobody could believe that people would fly planes into buildings.
There had been terrorist attacks on the Twin Towers before.
Yeah, but nothing like that. Well, and to watch it happen on television the way it did.
I went back and watched the, I don't know, Channel 4, Chopper, whatever. But I went and watched the original broadcast of that.
Yeah, but can you imagine if it was actually happening at that time and that's what we all did? We all watched it happen.
There was some interview going on and then it just cut to the... broadcast.
I don't remember. It was just a bloody, ugly, bad day. Planes fly into the buildings, and all of a sudden the buildings start to collapse.
Well, you know, 9/11 is still, like, one of the biggest conspiracy theories.
See, everything's got to be a conspiracy theory.
No, I don't... Look, I don't necessarily put stock in conspiracy theories, but I should mention that I don't think that the 9/11 was a conspiracy theory, or a conspiracy, I guess, but there's no way that they're just out here batting 1,000, you know.
No, I'm not saying things are always the way that they come off. I'm just saying that people make everything a conspiracy theory. It gets so tiring.
Well, I think there's probably something to that. I mean, I think a lot of things are pretty straightforward a lot of the time. But for things to be so straightforward, I think it kind of spooks people. Because
I believe most conspiracy theories are based on the idea that people are fearful, that it's so easy to do something.
Yeah, that's kind of what I was saying. I mean, most conspiracy theories, I think, are pretty straightforward, but it makes more sense to them to think there was some, like, big grand scheme because...
Well, I believe that's the basis for every conspiracy theory.
Well, I'm sure it is.
How does this loser all of a sudden be able to take out the most powerful person on planet Earth? How does that happen within a second?
Yeah, get close enough.
But people can't wrap their mind around that. There's got to be some more to it.
Well, I've heard some crazy conspiracy theories.
So you have to believe that, I guess, to keep yourself sane.
Believe conspiracies?
Yeah, because if you believe that life was really that fragile...
Look, I mean, if you believe in conspiracy theories to keep yourself sane, I don't quite know that you're sane. I'm, you know...
Well, that's why they do it. They sell well. People love to listen to them.
Well, they're interesting. I mean, that's why I like conspiracy. They're interesting. Has there been a conspiracy I've listened to where I'm like, yeah, that's pretty plausible? I'm sure there has been, but most of them I just find interesting.
So what's coming up next hour?
Man, time flew by on that. Football, and we'll probably talk more about the local politics.
There you go. That's all you need.
Been a good show.
It's been a good show. It's good to be in here. We'll be back. I'll be back next week. Who knows what'll be on? You never know. 2 weeks, two governors.
Well, that's how you do it.
Yep. Strickland the week before, Celeste yesterday, and God only knows what's around the corner. Matt coming up next. Don't tune away for this very cold, 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 cold night. Scott Spears heading for the dugout.
You're listening to The Talking Place. The legendary star of The Facts of Life, Charlotte Ray, Mrs. Garrett.
Yeah. Is it how?